2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 15. Let us, this is the reading of God's word. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. It tells us about Jesus Christ, what he has done and what he has accomplished. And Father, it is also a story about us, because everything that he has accomplished is now our heavenly reality, the reality of our salvation. And Father, it is truly glorious, and we give you all the glory, honor, and power. As we hear your word, cause our faith to grow. Let us be more and more like your Son. And Father, as you feed us with heavenly manna, we are satisfied and we will be satisfied. Oh Father, we are satisfied with our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. In him, we find complete, perfect, heavenly, eternal satisfaction. We thank you, God, and receive all the glory as we hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This treasure. Well, if you remember what came before verse 7, this treasure, Paul is referring to the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, or we are able to simply say this treasure is the glory of God. You and I, we are filled with the glory of God. God has filled our earthen vessels, meaning our bodies, with the glory of heaven, the glory of God. The earthen vessels, or EVS, a version says, jars of clay. So this treasure in earthen vessels, the glory of God in jars of clay. What is the picture here? Jars of clay, easily breakable. God has put his glory in our body, which is weak and fragile. Jars of clay also points to it is of not much worth. God's glory and jars of clay. The difference is enormous. They just don't go together. And yet, this is what God has done. He fills our frail bodies with His glory. He Himself lives in us. Why did He put this treasure in jars of clay? Well, verse 7b, meaning the latter part of verse 7, tells us, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. Why did He put this truly amazing treasure in jars of clay? So that God's power will be witnessed. Everything that God has accomplished for you and for me is so that God's power will be witnessed. It is so different from how the worldly people think. They're all about how great they are, their own abilities and power. But no such thing is in our religion. Christianity is all about witnessing the power of God, not what we ourselves are able to do. Because frankly speaking, we are not able to do anything when it comes to pleasing God. Chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, Paul says, and God has said to me, Paul says, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, you don't meet this kind of person that often. They boast about their weaknesses. Oh, you will always see people boasting about what they are able, their power and abilities. That's what worry is all about. How good they are. And in order for them to show that off, they will show you how much money they have, how much power they have, what kind of job they have, what kind of school they went to, you know, all that. But even for Christians, this truth doesn't come home. It seems like so many Christians, when they read these kind of verses, they say, oh, it's a good verse. But they live as if that verse has nothing to do with their life. It's just good verse. But truth is our reality. This is how we are. This is what we are. This is our reality. Christians are like this. That's what the Bible is saying. And if you don't fit that description, there's something wrong with you. It's not that the word is wrong or has no power. It is you who need to change. But if you keep saying, okay, that's a good verse, and you don't believe that to be your reality, if you don't believe, It's going to be no help to you. It's about believing. God tells us this is how it is, and you believe. And you live out that belief. Yes. We are even happy that we are weak. We have no problem telling the whole world we are jars of clay. Yeah, even in worldly standard, we are truly nothing. But see, unlike worldly people, we're actually happy about that. Because if that kind of person, nobody, will stand before God when Jesus returns and show how glorious He is, He will show to the whole world the power of God. Be happy when people look at you as if you're nobody, because that same people will see you when Jesus returns. And you're going to show that person how glorious you are at that time. For that person, it is very clear that it's God's power, not yours. And that's what we desire. That at the end, God will receive all the glory. Now, I'm not saying then, you know, just be lazy and don't study and don't work hard. No. But if you live as a Christian, even if you study, even if you go to good college, even if you make a lot of money, it's not about boasting about you. It's not to show the whole world how good you are. When I am weak, then I am strong. God has put this treasure in jars of clay. Why? To witness the great power of God. And remember that. That is your life. Obviously, this is not the way of this sinful world. Verse 16, therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. My kids were joking about, you know, I became 50. You're old. And yes, my outer man is decaying. But at the same time, my inner man is renewed day by day. And I know this. This is the reality of our salvation. Outer appearance is a jar of clay. But it is filled with the glory of heaven, the glory of God. Yes, we still live in this world, but the life that we live is the heavenly life in Jesus Christ. What world will see and what is true eternally is completely opposite. He fills the glory of heaven in jars of clay. This is who we are. Brothers and sisters in Christ. And now in verse 8 and 9, we see Paul explaining this reality. It is just amazing. Verse 8 and 9, we are afflicted every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not crushed, but not destroyed. Here are four pairs, four things here. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are pressed every way, but we still find the room to move about. Yes, the pressure is from all sides. But we still find the room to move around. Perplexed but not despairing, in a situation so dire, we don't know what to do, but we still find the very thing that must be done. God will make sure that that will happen. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Yes, we face much sufferings in our lives in this world, but that is never a proof that God has abandoned us. Actually, it's the opposite. Those sufferings are God's blessings that God uses to make us participate in the glorious life of our Lord Jesus Christ, His life of suffering. Struck down, but not destroyed. We might be down on the ground, but never destroyed. By God's grace, we get up again, but we will be struck down again, but we will get up again. We are never destroyed. Nuclear bomb cannot destroy me. See, our lives in this sinful world, it's described beautifully here. You might not think it's beautiful, but our lives in this sinful world, we are afflicted in every way. We are perplexed. We are persecuted. And we are struck down. This is what happens to Christians in this world. But, Paul says, we have another reality. Yes, there is a visible reality of this world, and there is invisible reality of heaven for us. Yes, you could say some things are true of me in this world, but at the same time, there are so many things that is true of me now in heaven, which is invisible. This is what our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. Yes, we are afflicted in every way. And that is our reality. But there is another reality that is true of us. We are not crushed. We have a heavenly reality in which even when we are perplexed, we don't have to be in despair. We just simply don't have to be. Even when we are persecuted, God is with us. Even when we were struck down, we are never destroyed. Thus, even when we are afflicted in every way, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down, we are able to rejoice, for our God has already accomplished our eternal life, the life that belongs to the kingdom of God. And this is not just our imagination. This is truly our reality, though it's invisible. This is what we believe. We rejoice in God no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in. Yes, things will happen, but we are never discouraged. What will make us discouraged? Oh, yeah. At that moment, you might feel discouraged, but as soon as God pours out His grace and you remember what God has said to us, you remember the truth and you go, okay. Brothers and sisters, this visible world is not everything. There's another world. And there's another reality that our Lord has already accomplished. We rejoice no matter what. Thus, we witness the surpassing greatness of the power of God that is with us. This is your call. Treasure in the jars of clay. Afflicted in all ways, but you still live joyous life. By doing that, you show the power of God. Thus we witness the glory that is in our jars of clay. Thus we witness that this world is not everything. The reality of this world is not everything. There is another world in which we belong now and forever. We are already the citizens of that eternal world. We have already been delivered into that world in Jesus Christ. We have been already passed out of death into life. Thus, no matter what happens in this life, we live according to the reality of our eternal salvation, our eternal life. A lot of people are showing me they're cold. I got your message. I hope you get my message. Brothers and sisters, this is so important. Yours and my purpose is not to avoid sufferings in this world or, you know, just more wealth and just better health. This is not our purpose. I was talking to a doctor, and, you know, I don't want to tell you everything we said, but, you know, my question to him was, so what if I'm sick? So that I die. So what? You know, don't tell me just being healthy, that is my ultimate purpose in this life. No, I don't believe that. So what? I'm you know, sick and I die. What? Man, so many people live as if all these stupid other things are their ultimate goal. Our goal is to show to the whole world this great power of God that is in us. This glory of God that is in us. And Paul continues, verse 10 and 11, always caring about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Do you hear what Paul is saying? What is Christian life? It is a life in which Christians carrying in their body the dying of Jesus Christ. We always, and mark that word, always, We always carry the dying of Jesus Christ in our body. We are called to participate in our Lord Jesus Christ's life of suffering and death. We too, just like Jesus Christ, live our lives as though we are being delivered over to death every day. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Go there, please. Romans chapter 8. Verse 35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, with distress, with persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? See, what Paul is saying is this. You know, you don't become Christian. See, some people think that when they become Christian, that God will work so that you will never face tribulation, you will never face distress, you will never face persecution, and so on and on. This is not what the Bible is saying. Paul is actually saying, when you live your life as a Christian, you will face these things. You will face tribulation. You will face distress. You will face persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, and sore. You will face these things, but remember, brothers and sisters, these things which will happen in your life is never a proof that God doesn't love you. That's what Paul is saying. Just as it's written, verse 36, it will make it clear. Look what Paul is saying. For your sake, for God's sake, we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. This is who we are, brothers and sisters. You know, I know I'm going to have a hard time convincing Christians in this world who are living in this world of this. This is who we are. But I don't know. Maybe that statement is not biblical. If you're truly Christian, I don't think I will have a hard time. But I'm talking about the churchgoers. I'm going to have a hard time convincing them. But this is what the Bible says. And so many people who go to church, what? I came to church so that I don't have to face these things. But you're telling me that because if I become Christian, this is my life? What are you talking about? See, church lied to you. Bible doesn't say that when you become Christian, God will do everything He could so that you will not face these things. For God's sake, we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But, see, those things happen. But, in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, even if I die, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. These things, they are not proofs that God doesn't love us anymore. Actually, it's the opposite. God's calling us to participate in the life of Christ. That was life of Christ. He lived this way. And He's calling us to live the very life that Christ lived. And of course, we're not going to handle, you know, His... I mean, if I have to do everything that Christ had to do, no. But in small ways, we are blessed to participate in His glorious life of suffering and death. First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. For I think God has exhibited us, apostles, last of all, as men condemned to death, because we have become a spectacle spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are called to live our lives as though we are handed over to death for Jesus' sake. We are called to carry the dying of Jesus in our bodies. But even as we suffer, we are to rejoice, be very happy, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested through us. So that the life of heaven may be witnessed through us. As we suffer joyfully in this world, we witness the reality of heaven in which we belong. Yes, they're going to ask questions. How come Young is so happy? There's nothing to be happy about. Everything is going against, you know, whatever this world wants. Everything is going in the opposite direction of what this world wants. Why is he happy? And they will have two answers. One, he's crazy. Two, maybe he has something I don't have. What is that? And you could answer, that's Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Ah, they're not going to want it anyway. But it's okay. That's our message. Romans 8, verse 17 and 18, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. Brothers and sisters, that glorious life of heaven has already begun in us, in Jesus Christ. We have these two phrases here, Jesus' death, Jesus' life. We carry his dying so that his life will be witnessed. Jesus' death and Jesus' life. Through the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, what has been accomplished? What does it mean that he died on the cross and he was resurrected from the dead? Other than the fact that he died on the cross and resurrected from the dead. Because of that event, what changed? Now, you know, it will take many, many months to look everything concerning this. But today, just simply, when he died on the cross, we too die with him. Do you understand? That's what happened. When he died on the cross, you die too. That's what happened. When he died on the cross, we died to this world. That's what happened. When he died, we died to the world. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, but may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Do you see, when he died on the cross, you died with him. Not only that, you died to this world. That's what happened. That is your reality. You do not belong to this world anymore. You have to understand what has happened. Because if you really don't know what has happened, then how are you going to live in terms of what has happened? When he resurrected from the dead, We too resurrected with him. That's what happened. When he resurrected from the dead, our eternal life is accomplished. Our eternal fellowship with God is accomplished. We have been passed out of this world into the other world. What do we believe? What do we preach? Now, I wish I had more time to really talk about this. You know, what's the meaning of his death and his resurrection? Now, there's just so many things we have to talk about. But in terms of our conclusion today, just remember, you died to this world, and you're resurrected unto another world. That's what happened. What do we believe and what do we preach? Verses 13 and 14. But having the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore we also speak, knowing. What do we believe and what do we speak? Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Christ, also with Jesus, and will present us with you. What do we believe? Jesus was resurrected from the dead, and God will raise us just like him when Jesus returns. This is what we believe. This is why, even though we're afflicted in every way, we're not crushed. Because of what Jesus has done and accomplished. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in heaven, and we believe in the resurrected life of heaven that our Lord has accomplished for us. And we will see this more in detail next time. I'm going to talk about it more next time. But verse 12, go back to verse 12. So death works in us, but life in you. Now, at first, it seems a little bit strange. So death works in us, but life in you. Well, this is a call to participate in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's concluding the remark, what he was saying in previous verses. Because of the death of Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. Because of his death, we have life. So, in Jesus, death was working so that life in us. Do you understand? In Christ, death in us, eternal life. Do you see it? We must live this very life that Christ lived. We must die so that others will have life. This is the pattern. Exactly how Jesus lived. He died so we have life. We must carry the dying of Christ so the life of Christ will be witnessed to the others. So that they may know the eternal life. When you live your life in terms of carrying the dying of Christ, meaning you will forsake this world, you will live for Christ, even if it means that you're going to suffer and die, when you do that, you're actually at the same time revealing the life that belongs to heaven. Because unless there's life that belongs to heaven, you will not live like that. Unless there's heaven, you will never forsake this world. If this world is everything, then that's what it is. It is everything. You will not forsake it.
human beings are made such a way that if this world is everything, then this world is everything. Death in us, so that life will be in others. This is how God calls us to live. But no, the world is completely opposite. It's all about me. I have to live. Who cares about others? Even if I care about others, that still is for me. I want to feel good about it. See? Complete opposite of the world. So you see some of these worldly people helping others, but even that is for them. They want to feel good about their lives. But see, you help others not for you. You help others because you want to participate in the life of Christ. What do you think Christian life is, brothers and sisters? Man, we're just full of it. It's all about us. You know, what do I get out from this church or this? See, everything is, see, they never say, how am I going to, you know, serve God and worship Him? How am I going to sacrifice for Him? No, no, even church is for me. No matter how much the truth is preached, no, I don't like it, then it's not for you. It is just so amazing. But Paul shows us what Christian life is. We die so that others will live. We die so that others will see life in us. We must live a life that imitates the life of Jesus Christ. We must die so that others may have eternal life. Thus Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:31b, I die daily, he says. I die daily. As soon as you get up, you die, so that you may do the will of God. Because as soon as you get up, there's all this my will. I want to do this, I want to do that. But you die so that you will do His will. And you die daily. Every single day. And you want to do things for you, but you die so you will do things for others. You want to do things that benefit you, but you die so that you want to do things that benefit others. Death in us, so that life will be in others. This is what God calls us to live. This is the life. This is what Christianity is all about. Life of Christ. Wow, very, very stupid life according to this world. Why would you want to do that? It's all about me and my family. I do everything to benefit me and my family. Isn't that what is good? No? What kind of stupid thing is the Bible saying here? We die daily. Our jars of clay must be broken so that the glory of God which is inside will be manifested.
We are called to witness the glory that is in us, the glory of heaven, the glory of God. It is witnessed through the life in which we die daily for others. It is witnessed through the life in which we die daily for God. We are to imitate our Lord Jesus Christ. Our eternal Almighty God Himself has become a jar of clay. And that jar of clay was completely broken on the cross. He died on the cross for us. Brothers and sisters, He became a jar of clay. And He was never hesitant when it comes to His jar of clay being broken. He died for you. See, it's not even, you know, commanding you to do this. What Bible is saying is, this is who you are. That is why God is commanding it. Christianity is not about what you do to become something. It's about what Christ has already accomplished. And He has made you this kind of people. And your job is to believe and live it out. Witness what Christ has done and accomplished. We are to live joyously amid much sufferings and persecutions and even death. Yes, looks weak and fragile, but it is strong. 2 Corinthians 13:4, for indeed Jesus was crucified because of weakness, yet He lived because of the power of God. For we also are weak in Him, yet we will live with Him because of the power of God directed toward you. He was crucified in weakness, yet He lives by the power of God. Yes, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are afflicted in every way, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down in our lives, in our church life in this world. But we believe in heaven, in eternal life, in God. Yes, even as we are afflicted in every way and struck down and down again, our eternal life, our heavenly reality are already accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ, and we already possess them. Thus, even death is gain. Do you understand? Death, even death, is gain. Man, if you could just understand that phrase, even death is gain, you understand the gospel. Thus, 1 Corinthians 4:12b-13, when we are reviled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. When we are slandered, we try to conciliate. We have become as the scum of the world and dregs of all things, even until now. Brothers and sisters, remember, and this we will look at in the future, 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Do you understand what Paul is trying to say in our chapter? That's how he ends that chapter 4.
Understand what God is telling you. We are afflicted in every way, but we are not crushed. Why? Because we look not at the things which are seen, but we look at things which are not seen. We look at our heavenly reality. So even in this world, we might be all oppressed in every direction. You see another you in another place. You're not crushed. You're not destroyed. Even as you die in this world, you're not crushed. You're not destroyed. You have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, amazing grace. Oh, Father, how happy we are. Yes, we might suffer in this world. Yes, we might be persecuted. Oh, yes, we might be afflicted in every way, perplexed, persecuted, struck down. But, Father, we are never, never crushed, never in despair, never forsaken, never destroyed. We have eternal life with you. And that eternal life has already begun. Oh, Father, we thank you and we love you. Let us live for you. Let us die every day, so that the life of Christ will be revealed through us. Bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.